Welcome to the Adulting is Easy podcast, where we make adulting easier by making money easier. This is your host, Lauren, and I'm joined today by Adam Corin.
Hey, hello,
that rhymes with Lauren. That just hit me. Uh-huh. Adam Corin helps people who hate dealing with their money. He's been coaching for more than 20 years and brings care, clarity, and sanity to personal finances, especially for those who experience avoidance, shame, and confusion about them. Adam specializes in providing judgment-free emotional support to help people untangle their unique money challenges. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Our goal for today, of course, is to make adulting easier for listeners by discussing a personal finance topic, since managing money is a big part of adulting. So today, Adam, we're going to talk about the human and emotional side of personal finance, as we could probably tell from your bio. Although before we get into that, I was on your website and I noticed you didn't add Ultimate Frisbee to your bio at all, and I was a little disappointed by that.
Yeah, thank you. It's one of my biggest passions, Ultimate Frisbee. And in fact, I've actually played a few times in Sarasota, right near you, even though I live in California. So yeah, thanks for mentioning that. It's one of my favorite things.
I love it. I mean, we're big into pickleball mm-hmm. in this area. I don't know if it's out your way yet.
It is. Yeah.
Kooky also, about it.
I've also been getting into that. Yeah. Really have a good time with that too.
Nice. So how did you get into, we said coaching, is it financial coaching? How did you get into this space?
Yeah, great. So I started coaching when I was about 20 and I'm 43 now. So been coaching a long time, but that was mostly kind of dabbling on and off as a kind of a side project, side hobby. And I quit my last job about a decade ago, and I was doing all kinds of things. You know, I did a little coaching on here and there, but I was doing some consulting. I drove for Lyft. I did some catering. I was just trying to figure out what to do next. And one of the coaching clients I had at that time, I was actually helping her get on top of her email. And we did a few sessions and she was like, yeah, this is pretty good. But what I actually really need help with is my finances. Is that something you can help me with? And I said, I don't know. Like, well, let's try it. And that work was so impactful for her. And it was so eye-opening for me of, oh my goodness. There are so many people who hate dealing with their finances. And there are financial planners who generally, like, they're very happy to talk with you about all the numbers and your future. But if there's some more emotional or messy aspect of their finances, they're probably going to steer it back towards the numbers. And then there are therapists who are very happy to talk with you about the more messy part. But if you actually need to, like, deal with your accounts and specifics and make plans, they probably can't help you with that so much. So I just realized there's this huge territory in between where people kind of need some of both, where people weren't really getting served. So the more I thought about that and talked about that with people, I realized, like, oh my God, this is a whole niche that I could serve.
Why do you think people do have an aversion to wrapping their minds around their finances and getting that in order?
Yeah. I think one of the main reasons for that is that, for whatever reason, just about everyone I talk with about money has this belief that I should know what I'm doing about my finances. I'm an adult. But almost no one gets any training in their personal finances, which is why it's awesome what you're doing with your podcast and your work. And most people don't talk about this stuff. Sometimes even with the closest people in their lives, for some reason, it's taboo. Like, people just are spooked about talking about money. And yet we still think we should know what we're doing. And that's just, it's just like, if you stop and think about it that way, it's ridiculous. Like, there's no reason we should be good at it. And yet, for whatever reason, most people do. And I think that's where a lot of the anxiety and even shame can come from. And then all the avoidance is like, it's really important, but I should be better at it than I am.
Even once you learn some of this stuff, even tactically. So for example, this is how much you make. This is how much you spend. How much you make should be higher than what you spend. And that should go into saving and investing. Even once you learn these technical things, that doesn't acknowledge what might be going on for you emotionally or in your past or any traumas that you have behind the scenes, right? Too. So this is the thing. Let's say I talk to my friend about personal finance, even if we're talking about it, we're talking about 401ks and IRAs and stocks and all these things, that doesn't get to what some of those emotions and blocks behind it really are though, right?
Right, right. Yeah. And that, I mean, what you started with there, like, ideally, our income is higher than our expenses. I mean, that is such a baseline, clear thing that it's better to be in the black than in the red. And that's not always the case for people.
Right.
And that can go up and down throughout our lives, or sometimes things are going really well, and sometimes things are really tight, or for whatever reason, our expenses are much higher than our income. And we have all kinds of feelings about that. I think the feelings part is kind of an under focused on, that's not really a word, but you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Under focused on aspect is because the feelings really drive us, and it can drive us away from dealing with what's happening, or it can, I mean, if there's excitement, then it's easy and fun to talk about and work on this stuff. But particularly when there's fear, guilt, shame, it's helpful to know that this is a place to summon courage, and that it's actually okay to do this with someone else.
That was what I was going to ask. Like, how do we know what our emotions even are? How do you even kind of start to examine yourself? And do you need somebody else to help you with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for those of you listening, just ask yourself right now, what are your feelings around your finances? Like, as we're talking about money right now, what's coming up for you? If you're not really sure, you might even want to just pause this and just take another moment to reflect on that. Or afterwards, you could do some journaling. There usually are feelings one way or the other. I mean, it's possible it's just neutral. It's just something you're interested in and wanting to understand more. That's totally great too. But oftentimes, I mean, this is what I do, so I see it a lot. Oftentimes there's quite a bit of feelings, and oftentimes, especially in this country, there's just a baseline of anxiety around it. And fear, concern, worry, something in that neighborhood. That may be just kind of the ambient environment in which you're thinking about money. It's possible.
And you can have your feelings, then you can have your feelings about your feelings.
Right.
Too. So I think that's a big thing for people to realize is, I think being neutral about money, I think is a great idea. Mm-hmm. I think most of us are going to fall on the positive or negative side for sure. And you should then, let's say you have negative feelings about money, or you have this anxiety or fear. Also, then don't feel shame that you feel those things. Understand that having emotions around money is normal. Sometimes we talk about money like it's numbers, it's math, it's spreadsheets, but there's so much more to it than that. And you're human. Congratulations. You have feelings. That's totally okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to name shame in particular, because, shame, it can't survive empathy and being brought out into the light. Like, shame thrives in darkness. And that's, you know, what I've learned from Brené Brown.
Yeah.
Just such a pioneer in that. And I like to, because just about everyone has shame around money in some way. Even people who are, you know, succeeding and doing really well financially, oftentimes there's some shame, not always, but something to look for. So if we recognize that and include that in the conversation, that can make things easier also.
So you said you're seeing a lot of anxiety in these conversations. Are there any other patterns that you're recognizing in your clients?
Avoidance.
Oh,
okay. Not dealing with it, trying to, I'll do it later. It's It's, when I think about taxes, many, many people do them at the absolute last minute. And that's another manifestation of avoidance. And usually that avoidance is based on they haven't been looking at it throughout the year. And so they kind of know, like, oh my God, this is going to be a really difficult, stressful thing. I'll do it later. And then kind of doing it at the last minute when they have to, for many people.
How do people get over anxiety, shame, and avoidance when it comes to, how do you move past these so that you can be more productive when it comes to your finances? But what do we say here? We make adulting easier by making money easier. And my idea with that is if you are not worried about where your next meal is coming from, if you're not worried about if you're going to be in poverty when you retire, if you're not worried about those things, I feel like it frees you up a lot. But how do we get from shame, fear, and avoidance to that freedom feeling?
Yeah, great question. Well, I think the first part is just recognizing what you are feeling as you were surfacing. So asking yourself what you're feeling and just recognizing it and being willing to feel those feelings, and then being willing to talk about this with someone you feel close with or safe with. Could be a partner or a close friend or a professional. There are lots of ways to get support on this if you need it. And the more that my sense is that handling finances does best when there's regular attention in a kind of a positive problem solving kind of like, okay, what needs to happen? Where are things at? That kind of problem solving mindset. And the shame, avoidance, anxiety can block that problem solving, okay, what needs to happen here mindset.
Think it's in Your Money or Your Life, that book where it talks about, money is morally neutral. We hear money is the root of all evil, or billionaires are evil, or rich people, but really at the end of the day, it's sort of this money is this neutral thing in terms of morality, but it's also your financial situation is kind of a neutral thing too. It's like it is what it is. Once you lay out what's coming in, what's going out, that's the most important thing. You lay it out and then you whatever changes you have to make, it's kind of like dieting, right? Like if you're overweight, you're overweight. Like it is what it is. And you need to diet and you need to exercise and you need to drink water and you need to sleep well. And that's just how it is. So it's the same with money where you lay it out. And if you want to get from where you are to whatever your goals are, there are some steps you have to take. And I think to some extent, you have to be a little bit logical and a little bit pragmatic about it. And I think that should actually be helpful and heartening to people.
Yeah, and along those lines, I find when we write things down or put them on a computer in a spreadsheet, whatever, in any way, it changes it from a loop of worry into that kind of problem-solving practical focus of like what needs to happen here. And I also wanted to say, I was just thinking about I had a client yesterday, literally yesterday, who was telling me that. As she was reflecting on her past, she said, money killed both of my parents. And what she meant by that was that she grew up in poverty. And she was talking about like her mom in particular, who was really good at what she did, but was unwilling to charge what other people are in her field were charging. And when she needed help, she couldn't ask for help. And so some health things happened in her house, and she ended up getting pneumonia and dying. And my client said, I think money is going to kill me too if I don't really start to address this. And so I know that's kind of intense, but the reason I'm mentioning that is that there can be such deep, dark roots underneath this stuff. And there can be such charge, and it matters so much to our quality of life. And we don't talk about this stuff, and it makes such a difference. So I'm so glad you have this podcast.
Yeah, and that is really powerful. And I've noticed that about myself. Whenever I'm more stressed, it's like I'll have maybe some digestive issues or something. Right. And even when I feel like I'm handling things, my body sometimes will tell me when I'm not. And so I can totally see that your financial situation could really be affecting all aspects of your health. And right. how heartbreaking for your client that she's worried about repeating some of these things that her parents did. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to ask you also about parents. Like, it seems like it'd be very typical that however your parents thought about and handled money, it moves right down to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Particularly because we don't tend to like examine it and work on it. But yeah, I totally find that. And it's been humbling over the years to find that in myself, to see like, oh my God, I'm doing this exactly the way my dad does it. Like I was just going out to eat with my partner last week. We were trying to decide on a restaurant and I had all this like anxiety come up and like concern about price. And I'm like, oh my God, this is not who I want to be. And no fault to my dad. I think we can't help but absorb the beliefs and the practices of our parents or whoever raised us. And actually, I've found with my clients that that is recognizing that they are in the process of passing on to their kids their own limiting money beliefs. That has been a motivation for them, like, oh, I really need to like handle this. I need to address this, or they're going to be dealing with exactly what I am. I don't want to pass this on.
So a lot of it, what I'm hearing, Adam, is it comes to like pause. Reflect, think. It is very easy. I can't speak for the entire world. I guess maybe I can just speak for Florida, but here, and at least my experience is a lot of us are go, go, go. I mean, even at the holidays, for example, which were when this comes out, we're just coming out of the holidays. It's like theoretically you're supposed to pause, and maybe you pause some of your professional things, but then you've got all this personal stuff that comes back up, and you've got all the shopping and the cleaning and the cooking that you have to do. And so even when you're like taking a pause on some things, these other things happen, and it's so easy to just go move from A to B to C to D and not stop and pause and think and reflect. And when we do that, it sounds like we will learn a lot about ourselves and how we feel about money.
Right. Yeah, totally, totally true. And our culture and the capitalist rush and the marketing and all of the push to spend and you deserve this and give gift. And like, there's so much, it's so easy. There's such a greased slide in our culture to spend money. Like that's what's easy.
Yeah.
Here, credit card. No, just charge it. It's fine. And it's harder given our lack of training in our culture to actually slow down, as you were saying, to pause and reflect, and also to ask ourselves like, okay, what is going on with my finances? Like just the basic question of like, is my income greater than my expenses right now? Like many people like have a sense of it, but to actually like look at the numbers, that's surprisingly challenging for people. And for many people, it's just not in a regular rhythm. Mm-hmm. And so another thing that I would suggest if you don't have one is to come up with a really simple regular practice. And it could just be looking at your accounts if that's not something you do regularly. But it could be also looking at your transactions. But the most valuable thing I find is finding a way to get overview, to actually see if you can step back and look at the bigger picture of how are our finances going.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Getting back to parents really quickly.
Yeah.
Let's say we find out that our parents have passed maybe some negative financial or money blueprints down to us.
For most of us, probably they have. Yeah.
I'm not speaking for myself. I imagine also part of moving forward is forgiving them for doing that and having the understanding and the empathy to them that they didn't know any better either, right?
Right. I love that. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yeah. We're all in this together. We're all trying to figure this out with not a lot of like resource, conversation, education. Which is kind of how I stumbled into this myself, is like, oh, there's a lot of need here. And that it's kind of unrecognized in our culture. Like a lot of people are suffering. There's so much debt. There's so much of a sense of being behind and like I'm not good enough, or I need to be better in some way, but not knowing where to start. So and yeah, it's not our it's a great point. It's not our parents' fault. They did the best they could, and it's on us. It's our responsibility to and our opportunity to address and do anything we can to improve our inner orientation towards money so that our external can thrive more.
How should we be speaking with young kids? I told you I have a cough. I have a 1-year-old, 3-year-old nephew and niece. So maybe they're not ready yet. Or like what kinds of conversations do we have with kids so that we're not passing down maybe some of the bad things that we learned or we're changing our lives. We want to change the trajectory of our family, of our family tree. How do we actually do that and when do we do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't have kids myself, and I have the thought that I'm sure there are age appropriate times and ways to bring up different aspects of finances. So I don't actually know the details on that. I'm sure there's lots on the internet with that. What I will say though is the more we can address our own orientation towards money and our relationship with money, the more we can find a way to have it just be something that we maintain, that we feel positively towards, that cannot help but get transmitted and passed on to your kids. They will absorb that attitude, that orientation. And if you're enjoying it, they're going to be curious about it. Like we, our money is so important. And like kids sense that. And so how you guide them with that will come out of how you feel about money.
Is it possible to wrap your mind around your finances by yourself? I mean, I know you're a coach, you're a financial coach, so maybe you have a biased thought on this, but is it possible to, let's say somebody's listening, they're very early on in learning about personal finances. Is it possible for them to do this on their own, to take stock of where they come from, to start working on their personal finances and to end up in, a better place and reaching their goals? Can people do it on their own?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, like with anything that you want to learn, take on, there are so many different kinds of resources. And yeah, if you want to do it alone, you totally can. There's so much, there's so much available to you. And the thing that I started with has become kind of the center of my message, which is that we think we should know what we're doing. And there is really no reason that we should know what we're doing. And once we really take that in, there's no reason I should know what I'm doing. Then it's like, oh, well, then I can just be a learner. I can like it, there's no shame in being a beginner at anything. We were all a beginner with everything at one time. And so when we can take that attitude on and we can just start, then we can Google. Then we can go, oh, I keep hearing about 401ks. What the hell is that? And like you can start to find out. It's not like there's so much in financial vocabulary that can be intimidating for people, and can kind of fit in with some of the shame that's often already there. But if you stop and go like, no, there's no reason I should know anything about a 401k. Like, let me Google and see if I can figure out what this is. And maybe I can talk with my friend who seems to know what they're doing. Like the more you can demystify it and relax and be like, oh, what's going on here? Like, I think I want to invest. Like, where would I even begin with that? There's so many extended hands, like your podcast, of like, here's some helpful information. But it's the key, the beginning point is that like letting go of the shame and opening to just learning.
I have, again, with my niece and nephew, you forget you learned everything. I mean, my niece just potty trained. Like at some point you had to learn how to use a potty. Somebody basically had to teach you. So if nobody has sat down and ever said the words 401k to you,
Right.
of course you're in your 401k diaper or whatever. Like nobody like told nobody like nobody told you how to use it. Of course you shouldn't know it. That's a ridiculous like analogy or comparison, but
No, it's great.
so the why you shouldn't know. Of course you should like Yeah, when were you supposed to have learned that? Nobody ever taught it to you. So,
Right.
yeah, that's a huge part of it. And I think when you mentioned, the terminology in this space, I think it's mystical and mystifying on purpose. Like people have done that so that they, especially back before, we could invest in like say Vanguard index funds, and Bogle opened that up to people back when you needed a stockbroker and investing was just for the rich. And these people wanted to have the keys to that and to keep people out and be the ones with the knowledge. So I think it goes all the way back to that. But yeah, you're right. Like there's so many ways to get information now and to learn. But I will say, I think you can do it on your own. I think like going back to dieting, if you wanted to do it on your own, you could, but like, wouldn't it be faster with a nutritionist and a trainer?
Right.
Same kind of thing, right?
Right. Or even just talking with a friend. Like,
Right. Good point.
I mean, yeah, there's such a individualistic impulse in this culture. Like, I can do it myself. I don't need you. I don't need anybody. But like, it's so much easier to do it with a friend or a coach or a partner. For so many of us, that can be such a relief, and it can really help to undo the shame. There are so many fellow beginners also who like want to learn with, like, if you start putting out a message of like, hey, I want to learn more about finances, I guarantee you will get people around you going like, oh my God, me too. Like, let's do this.
Absolutely. Well, Adam, is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
I think I just want to invite the possibility of a friendly relationship with your finances. There's no reason it can't be like that.
A lot of people worry about what ifs, negative thing. There's also what if positive thing happens too, which has been really big for me in my life.
It can get better.
So, we mentioned Ultimate Frisbee, so certainly on your website they can learn more about how you do that. But why don't you let people know what that website is and how else they can get in touch with you?
Sure. My website is just my name, adamcoren.com, and that's KOREN. And you can find me on Instagram at Adam Coren Coaching, and on Facebook as well. And feel free to reach out, especially on Instagram is probably the best place to reach me.
Great. I'll put all of that in the show notes. Guys, you can follow me on Twitter, X, at Adulting Is Easy, Instagram at Adulting Is Easy Reel. This is on YouTube at Adulting Is Easy. If you like this episode, you may also like episode 156, Financial Independence Doesn't Have to Be Extreme, or episode 74, Empathy and Shame in the Personal Finance Community. Thanks again for listening, everybody. Hopefully, Adam and I have made adulting a little easier for you.